Hey, shalom everyone, and good afternoon to you guys on the East Coast of the United States. Good morning to those on the West Coast, and good evening to the people in the Middle East. Good night to those in Asia. I'm Amir Tsarfati, and together with me is Pastor Barry Stagner. Shalom, Pastor Barry.
Shalom, Amir. Good to see you this morning.
Good to see you too. We are both in Calgary, Canada. We're actually at the same hotel, two different rooms, and we're set to have an evening of Bible prophecy this evening. 2,300 people are expected to arrive, and it's going to be an evening of not just a message that I will give, but also you and I will give answers to as many questions as we can on Bible prophecy and current events. Pastor Barry, would you do us the honor and start with a prayer?
Absolutely. Lord, we are so grateful to have this opportunity, Lord, to look to your book and to find help to make our way through all the misinformation and flat out lies that are happening around us, the exchange of evil and good, darkness and light, and all the other things, Lord. But we thank you that we have an anchor in your word, that we can remain steadfast in perilous times. So God, we ask your anointing on what is said and one on the ears of the hearers as well. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So again, folks, shalom, everyone. This is Amiris and Beyond live from Calgary, Canada, as Pastor Barry and I are on a speaking tour in Canada. We have a few more days, and then I'll go back home to Israel. Last night, our time at least, tsunami alert in many places around the world, as well as, which followed, by the way, the fifth largest earthquake in recorded history, 8.8 in the Richter scale, was recorded off the coast of Kamchatka in western Russia, where there were some nuclear subs, believe it or not, that Russia is not telling us what is the situation with them. Lots of whales were actually, because of the tsunami effect, many whales were washed off to the shores in Japan, as well as in Hawaii, in some actually in Kamchatka in Russia, some beluga whales in Kamchatka, Russia itself. Pastor Barry, even your own family received some tsunami alert, or at least were aware of what's going on.
Yeah, we are 4 miles from the beautiful Pacific Ocean in Southern California, and there were multiple advisories given out all the way down to La Jolla down in San Diego County, all the way up to the border of Oregon and Crescent City. And Crescent City actually received warnings, not just advisories. So we were keeping a close eye on it. You know, of course, one of those things is here I am, you know, 1,500 miles from home, and, you know, my wife and daughter are trying to make their way through all this, you know. So it's a scary thing for a lot of people, especially those who actually experienced tsunami waves.
Yes, you know, there was alert also in Hawaii. Many people left the coast and went up to the mountain. We'll talk about that. We'll visit this subject later on this update. So what do we have, Pastor Barry?
Well, Amir, as always, we have the media knights who are doing their thing. And, you know, it's interesting in light of all the misinformation that's being presented about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza and all that. The New York Times actually amended an article that they promoted that went viral a week or so ago with a picture of a boy with his spine showing and his mom holding him. And they finally noted, and what I thought was kind of comical about this, is the New York Post was reporting on the New York Times, and they couldn't believe that they amended that article, that this young boy has a existing medical condition that was the main contributor to his weight loss and size and all those things. And they tried to picture it as, you know, kind of like an African child who actually is starving. So, Amir, there's so much that is being said that is non-factual. Maybe you can clear the air a little bit on what's really happening in Gaza regarding humanitarian aid.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm going to start by saying that the New York Times is evil. And what they did is not just reporting fake news, but they intentionally left out the healthy brother of this boy out of the picture. The pictures are showing actually that him, his mom. And by the way, this boy is not even, you know, there you go. You can see in the middle the story of her holding that same boy, and the healthy brother is on the right. And there's more pictures of that. And so I, of course, on my Telegram channel, I showed it. But there's so many fake news. Another fake news is, of course, the story of the other Osama al-Rakab starving in Gaza that actually is not even in Gaza. He suffers from another disease, cystic fibrosis, and he was flown to Italy to be actually treated. Sure. He's in a much better condition right now. Israel, in the middle of a war, allowed him to go out and he flew out to Italy to be treated. So they took all picture of him and as if he's starving right now. And not only that he's not starving, it has nothing to do with starvation, but as you can see, he's now in a better condition because he's being treated somewhere else. But that's not the only thing. You see also this real man and fake claim, 41-year-old Mohammed Hassanat. And again, this guy also suffer from a medical severe hyperkatabolism or something like that. And again, they showed him as if he's hungry. Also, in order to show how poor and bad the situation is, they make this other boy on the left side eat sand. These evil people make a little young boy eat sand in front of a camera just to send the message that Israel starves people. This is the only case in the history of planet Earth that starvation does not affect adults. And it's the only case in the history of planet Earth that starvation only affects a single person in the family and not the rest of the children as well. So it's fake, it's orchestrated, it's funded, and it is pushed by Turkish media outlets, by Qatar Money and Al Jazeera. BBC, even BBC, ordered their people to echo starvation. The BBC, you go to my Telegram, you can see about that. The BBC ordered that. It's an order from above. Echo starvation, starvation. And all those photos, all those narratives. Here, BBC reporters instructed to blame Israel for Gaza hunger. Now, the interesting thing is, I never ever claimed that the situation in Gaza is a garden of roses. We admit, I mean, almost 2 million people are in a war zone. There is no way things could be that great. But Israel is not to be blamed for it. There is a war, by the way, we never started, and a war that can end tomorrow if Hamas will lay down its weapon and leave. That's it. And what we see now is that this whole campaign is there to leave Hamas standing and have Israel stop the war without Hamas gone. It's never going to happen. The number one goal of this war is for Hamas to disarm and leave. That's the goal of the war. We will not accept a Gaza with Hamas in it anymore. This is from the first day of the war. That was the goal of the war. Now, let me make it very clear. The situation is different in different parts of the Gaza Strip. Let's dive into the map, Pastor Barry, and see what is truly going on there so you can see the difference between the parts of Gaza. So as you can see, this is the Gaza Strip where we have five operating brigades, IDF brigades, and 65% of the area is already under full control of the Israeli IDF. And then you can also see that there are food distribution centers by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, three in the south and one in the center. But then look how many humanitarian air cargo crossings you have. Because we obviously see that in those areas, not all the Gazans are coming to the Gaza humanitarian aid. But by the way, this is what it looks like if you come to the Gaza Humanitarian Aid Distribution Center. Look, everybody's there. They're all emptying the boxes into their own sacks, so it'll be easier for them to carry it with them. And that's it. Nobody is shooting at them. Nobody is killing them. Nobody is harassing them. All they do, their only thing is emptying the boxes. And these boxes, by the way, make no mistake, these boxes are containing stuff that is free of charge. Everything there is free, okay? So we give them free food, which, by the way, much of it is funded by the Israeli government. The only activity is funding and orchestrating humanitarian aid to the enemy in the middle of a war time. It hasn't been done to any, you know, the only time allied forces were actually dropping from the air aid is for the other allied forces that are combating. But here, this is the area in the Kerem Shalom crossing inside Gaza already, where food is rotting because the UN does not want to move it to the population. And after Israel exposed it, they started taking it finally all the way in. But look what the UN wants. The UN says, we don't need the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. We can do it. But look what happens when the UN brings the actual aid into Gaza with the trucks. The UN knows exactly what's going to happen. Look, we're moving to other parts of Rafah where the aid is coming through the trucks. And look, the IDF is standing there watching the locals running from both sides of the truck, looting it. Total chaos. By the way, you may not hear, but the Israeli commander says, do not fire, do not fire. In continuation of this same video, they actually praise the IDF for not even saying anything. But look what chaos you see when a truck is coming. Instead of coming to the organized food distribution center, look what the UN is making them doing. And why? Because the UN is well aware of the fact that but when those trucks enter other places in northern Gaza, those trucks are looted by Hamas first, and first to fill up their own supplies. And then take a look, Hamas is jumping with their guns on the trucks, not allowing people to take anything. And the New York Times, again, fake news. They're saying Israeli military officials say that there are no proof Hamas routinely steals UN aid. By the way, there's no such thing. The IDF spokesman said these are fake news. And second, it's the Palestinians themselves that say that Hamas is taking the aid. Look at this old lady that is saying the following thing when she's being asked about it. Look what she says. She says there is no aid because Hamas, sahib. Look, wada sahib, the situation is hard. And look what she says. Can we see it? You see? What she says is El Musahit, which means the aid, all of it goes down to the tunnels. They know there are humanitarian aid trucks coming, but Hamas is stealing it. You understand, the New York Times is telling people no proof of Hamas stealing aid. The Gazans are saying they are stealing. Videos the IDF is showing that they are stealing. All of that in front of everybody's eyes. And again, they choose to believe the lie. Pastor Barry, I've never seen anything like these. When we talk about strong delusions, these are strong delusions. The people are telling them it's not true. The footage is showing that it's not true, but they continue to push the lie, and the stupid, idiotic governments of the West are buying that lie, so much so that they blame Israel for starvation when Israel is not starving anyone. If anything, by the way, starvation of a population is allowed if you know that the aid goes to the enemy by international law. We could have said, hey, we know that Hamas is stealing, so we're not giving you food. But yet we are not saying that even. We get those trucks in knowing that they're being looted, but we say at least 20% goes to the people. That's better than nothing. So all of this is a vicious campaign, and it just blows my mind. I mean, it's amazing to see how evil is good, good is evil, darkness is light, light is... But I want to tell you something. It's not going to last for too long, Barry. It's not going to last for too long. I give it another week max.
Yeah, Amir, I think the amazing thing about that clip you showed is look at the faces surrounding this woman. None of them look like the little boys in the pictures who have, you know, these catastrophic diseases and ailments. They all look healthy. They look, you know, relatively well fed. I didn't see anybody that was emaciated, you know, with the swollen stomach that is typical of starvation, you know. And yet, as you mentioned, the media just buys everything that's presented to them, hook, line, and sinker. and promotes, basically they're promoting lies because of an anti-Semitic spirit that is sweeping the world.
And these are the photos we retrieved from tunnels, photos that were not taken too long ago. These are Hamas terrorists in the tunnels. You see the concrete walls behind them. These are the tunnels of Hamas in Gaza. They are feasting on this, on the food. And by the way, look at the mark on the low left side. It's actually the mark of a United Nations free humanitarian aid. You see, those boxes are landing under the ground for the terrorists to use the food thereof. Look, the pantry on top. Look how much food they have. They store food. They eat like kings. And again, if there is some sort of people that are a situation, people are hungry, these people that are hungry are the people that are right above the ground, above this very tunnel. And that brings me, Pastor Barry, Israel realized, we realized before, but we realize now even more, that Hamas doesn't care about people. They don't care about people that are sick or people that are dead or people that are hungry. They don't care about that. Well, they do care about land. They want the world to be Muslim. They want territory of Islamic control. And Israel is going to move forward. According to all publications, Netanyahu received green light from President Trump to move ahead and annex parts of Gaza as a way to pressure Hamas to release hostages. And annexation is a different thing, Pastor Barry. For annexation to be actually annulled or changed, you need a big supermajority of 80 parliament members, two-thirds of parliament members, that will say, okay, let's cancel the annexation. You'll never have it. In other words, once we take it, we won't give it back. And let me take you back to the Gaza map to show you that up until 2005, people may forget, we lived in Gaza. There were thousands of Israelis that lived in Gaza in what you see is Gush Katif, Neved Kalim, Morag, Kfar Darom, Netzarim, Dugit, all the way in the south, in the north, in the center. And those Israeli settlements there flourished. Pastor Barry, we had greenhouses. We grew flowers. We hired Palestinians to work there. Palestinians had good life when Israelis were there. The IDF was controlling the area from a military perspective. No rockets were fired at Israel. All Palestinians had jobs. They all had food. They all had dignity. The son of Hamas said, October 7th was not caused because they didn't have a state. It's actually caused because they had a state. Because once we cleared Gaza in 2005 and they had the entire Gaza Strip, that's when they began to work on October 7th. In other words, the minute you let them control the area, they are not controlling it in order to bring about better life for themselves. All they do is plot and prepare the place for the moment they can actually bring about our very destruction. So we will be eliminated. So, and that's exactly why Prime Minister Netanyahu said to the British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, he said to him, you guys are rewarding Hamas if you acknowledge Palestinian statehood, because what you are going to create is another entity that wants to destroy us right at our border. That's what he said. He says, reconciliation toward jihadist terrorists always fails. And he says, a jihadist state on Israel's border today will threaten Britain tomorrow also. This is crazy. And I think that's another part of the strong delusions that we see, don't we?
Yeah, Mayor, it's interesting thinking back to pre-2005, and you mentioned the greenhouses. You know, there's multiple stories down through these past years of either the destruction of those greenhouses that were providing jobs for Palestinians, as you said, or turning them into rocket manufacturing facilities instead of producing food and all the other things that they were so wonderfully providing for the people in the area. And so, you know, again, it just gets back down to the reality that Zechariah 12:3 is being fulfilled, or at least moved towards, where, you know, the world is gathering with the Palestinians against Israel, just as the Bible has said. And Amir, one last thing before we move to our next section. Your family had a very tragic incident that was hit pretty close to home, and especially with your middle boy, Elad. Maybe you could tell people what happened there.
Yeah. Well, you know, almost every Israeli home has soldiers serving in the IDF. My middle son is now serving in the IDF, but his best friend with whom he grew up, who is a neighbor of ours, and he used to come to our home almost a few times a week. Yinon, he was killed in Gaza a few days ago, a few days after he got into Gaza. A Hamas terrorist pulled up from a shaft and attached an IED to the armored personnel carrier that he was in the area of Khan Yunis, and the explosion killed Yinon and his commander. And that's as close as it got to ours. My son lost his best friend a few days ago. And again, Yinon was a frequent guest in our house, wonderful young man with a bright future ahead of him. And those terrorists took his life. And again, Israel would have never been inside Gaza unless the Gazans did what they did on October 7th, and they're still into plotting to destroy and kill us. Yeah, it was very hard for us to be away from him while he went through all of this, and we talked to him often, and we make sure he's okay. But that is as close as it got to us, and it was a very sad week for us also as a family, for us as a small town in Galilee. The whole town mourned. And I guess for everyone, the whole country mourned. We're mourning over our soldiers. Every soldier that dies, the entire country knows his name. So Yinon Uriel, 20-year-old boy, was killed alongside with his commander. And in a different incident that same week, other people were killed as well. It's a terrible price we have to pay, but hopefully, I think I can see the end in the horizon. I honestly, once we put on the table the annexation, and once Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar finally publicly admit, finally, by the way, what you see, this map is the annexation plan. We're going to first annex the outer perimeter all the way to the green line. If Hamas will still be stubborn, we'll continue to annex all the way to the yellow. And if it will be still stubborn, will annex all the way to the purple until Hamas is finished. Now, we control already most of what you see, but we never annexed it. The difference between controlling and annexing is very simple. Annexing means it's Israeli territory. That means that's it. From now on, the border will be here. From now on, I can actually settle here and farm the land here. This is mine. It's gone. You lost it. It's a war, and you lost land. It's a war you started, and therefore, legally, I can take it from you. You started that war. Anything I take is mine. And so Israel was hesitant for too long. Finally, even President Trump understands something has to be done, and the annexation will be activated in the coming days. I believe Witkoff is on his way over here. I believe that unless Hamas is going to release 10 hostages in the very next few days, and we're talking about probably 3 to 5 days from now, probably by next Mideast and beyond, we're going to already tell you either we have a deal or we have annexation in progress. And this is the story of that. And again, I do believe that it's very interesting, Pastor Barry, that for the first time, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey also, and Egypt and Jordan, they all sign on a proclamation that Hamas must disarm and never rule. In other words, look at this. Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Egypt signed declaration calling for Hamas to disarm, leave Gaza during their stupid UN two-state conference. It's a stupid two-state conference. You know why it's so stupid? It's stupid because there'll never be two-state because the Palestinians don't want two states. It's not because we don't want two states. Of course, I don't want two states. But they never even bother to ask the Palestinians, do you want two states? Every person that I've listened to on the Palestinian side wants Palestine, and referring Palestine is Israel. So from the river to the sea, it's not, from the river to the sea is the slogan of everyone that is cheering up for the Palestinians. And that's not two-state solution. That's one-state solution, and that's Arab, not for the Jewish people. So there's never going to be two-state. And Hamas now is being pressured not just by America and Israel, but now by its own allies. I think Hamas is finished. I think it's a matter of a week until we move to the major phase of finishing it. I think we're leaving. Netanyahu wants to make sure, before I order the complete annihilation of Hamas that might cost the lives of 20 of our living hostages, before I do that, I want to make sure I exhausted all options. So no one will ever tell me that I did. Yes. And he wants to sleep good at night. He wants every Israeli also to know we did what we could. Any other option of leaving Hamas in power is not an option. There's no option like that. This is not going to happen. Everybody understands that, even the Arabs, even the Palestinians themselves understand that. So I'm saying we're close to the end. And the last thing I would say, in the Hebrew calendar, we're in the month of Av. We're in those 10 days prior to the mark of Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, the day of the destruction of both the first temple and the second temple. These are known to be the most tensed and troublesome days of the year. It seems like we're being pressed, you know, from Europe for two-state recognition of a state, and from the whole world for starvation, and the hostages' families want them released. And we have every side is pushing and pushing and pushing, and it's mounting. The pressure is mounting. I think that we're on the verge of something big, and I think that everybody's going to see it in the next few days. And when I say something big, it's not just limited, Pastor Barry. It's not just limited to Gaza. I think Israel is planning something big for Yemen, and I think that also he's still refusing to disarm. And I think we're going to see something big there as well in Lebanon. So a lot of big things are going to happen next few days. A lot of big things.
Yeah. Amir, you mentioned that Hamas doesn't want a two-state solution. I know there's a lot of Christians, sadly, that have drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak, and bought into this whole Palestinian narrative. But the reality is, I think what Christians need to remember is God doesn't want a two-state solution. He said, sure, when his people are outside of the land he gave them, his name is being profaned, and the Gaza Strip is part of Israel, according to God's boundaries. So, you know, we need to be careful about wandering into some of this culturally sensitive thinking. And, you know, talking about two-state solution and all, Europe seems to be, you know, moving in a direction where they're going to start banging on that drum once again. Macron kind of playing the lead role, at least for the time being, demanding that Israel basically part the land, give up East Jerusalem, Temple Mount, and all for the supposed Palestinian state. So what's going on there?
Well, it started with Macron, that he said that by September in the United Nations General Assembly, he's going to declare that, you know, as a recognition Palestinian statehood. It followed by Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister of the UK. And by the way, Emily Damari, the survivor of the tunnels, one of the hostages, she just posted this. She said that she said that she's super disappointed with this. It's a reward to Hamas. What we need to do now is pressure Hamas, not reward Hamas. And she's disappointed. It's like rewarding the Nazis and giving the Nazis a state during World War II rather than finishing with them. So that's with Keir Starmer. The Prime Minister of Malta also said it's going to join other countries in Europe, pledged to join that declaration as well. But the funny thing is this, what state are you talking about? Where? What borders? Israel is in the West Bank as well. So what are you talking about? What are you barking? What is this type of vomit that comes out of your mouth? They have zero chance to survive 2 hours without us. Are you joking? Do you really think that after October 7th, any Israeli is going to let them have a state? Gaza was the test to see if the Palestinians are ever able to govern themselves and live in peace next to us and not instead of us. That was if there is one thing we learned from October 7th, is that we should never, N-E-V-E-R, never let Palestinians have their own sovereignty and count on them to defend the borders next to Israel. It's never going to happen. We understand it has to be Israeli military has to govern the security in that area, which means they'll never have a state. All we can offer them is self-ruling in their own cities, manage your own things, do your own business, elect your own officials to your own city councils, run your own business, and that's it. We control all the security in 100% of Gaza, West Bank, Israeli post-67, and even in any area beyond our border that poses threat to Israel, like 5 points in southern Lebanon, and there is a perimeter, security perimeter we took in the Golan area into the Syrian territory as well. We will not trust any jihadist president or any terrorist organization that still exists anywhere to live next to us and provide security to us. No, we've learned one thing. Look, that's it. October 7th taught everyone in Israel that it's over, it's done. We will not trust anyone to take care of us besides God and our own military. That's it. All of them are liars. All of them are scammers. And all of them will say one thing to their people, another thing to the international community. We don't trust them. Now, strength is the only thing they understand, and peace can only come through strength. And so when they understand we're there, we're not moving, that's it. We will control the Mount Hermon. We will control parts of southern Lebanon. We will control Gaza. We'll control Judea and Samaria. When they understand that's it. Now you need to live in peace with us. This is it. You had your chance. You blew it. The government of Lebanon allowed Hezbollah to flourish. Look what happened. Syria allowed Hezbollah and the Iranians to flourish in their territory. Look what happened to them. Look what happened to the Palestinians. Look what's going to happen to the Yemenites. It's over. Look what happened to the Iranians. There's no water. There's no electricity there. People are dying from that. It's over. It's over. It's over. The next war is Ezekiel war. Until then, Israel will be stronger and stronger, prosperous, flourish. That's why I'm smiling. When I see all of these attacks, I'm smiling. Because I know as far as Israel is concerned, we'll only get stronger and prosperous towards the Ezekiel war. And as far as the believers are concerned, everything we see around us should cause us to smile because our redemption is drawing near.
Yeah, once again, everyone, we'd like to remind you to be sure and subscribe to both of our channels, help get the word out, and like and comment and share. These things just help elevate what's being shown here out to a wider audience, because when you like or share something, those that you share platforms with, they're going to see that you did that, and it's going to come in front of their faces as well. And this information needs to get out there, especially, I think, within the Christian community, because there's so much going on within the church, so to speak, that's just so far out of line with what the Bible tells us we need to be doing in these last days. And Amir, you know, you mentioned Hezbollah earlier, and so I think we can move past that story. But, you know, we talked at the outset of the program about this massive earthquake, which is something that I believe has at least prophetic implications because of what Jesus said, you know, when he was doing what I call the preamble to the Olivet Discourse. He was telling, you know, the disciples, you know, it's going to be wars and rumors of wars. We can check that box. There's going to be you know, famines. We're seeing that happening in the world, and pestilence, and we're seeing ethnic tensions. All those things are happening. And then he said, and there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. And, you know, that word translated as earthquakes is seismos, and which obviously seismology comes from that in the English. But the word is not limited to geological events. The word can also be translated as a gale or a tempest. So that means what he's saying is there's going to be an increase in geological and atmospheric events in the last days. And, you know, the economic toll, the story that we're reporting on of wildfires, severe storms, and earthquakes is soaring. And weather in the first half of the year in the United States thus far has cost $93 billion in damage. That's an astronomical figure. But I think, Amir, especially in light of what happened yesterday, this fifth largest earthquake in recorded earthquake history reminds us that Jesus said that these things would increase in frequency and intensity. And for those who study the history of earthquakes for the last 150 years, as they've been keeping records, it used to be for 125 of those 150 years, there was one great earthquake per decade. There was only one major earthquake every 5 to 8 years. Now there are 18 major earthquakes at 7.5 to 7.9 every single year. And there is one great earthquake, 8.0 magnitude or better, at least once a year. So sometimes the USGS will come out with a report that says, yeah, we're really not seeing any substantial increase in these things. And it's just, again, I think propaganda to keep people from freaking out, because these things are absolutely increasing. Strange weather phenomenon happening all over the world. Places where it's normally blistering hot, it's cooler than normal. Places where it's normally hot and dry, it's raining like crazy. So, Amir, I think something big's about to happen too. And I think it relates to a moment and twinkling of an eye experience when we're taken out of this world.
Yeah, I agree with you. And so, and you know, the strong delusions that we see, the departure from truth that we see, the defection from the truth that we see, accompanied by a growing number of events of anti-Semitism all around the world. But at the same time, you see Israel is growing, is getting stronger and stronger. You know, our currency is the strongest in the Western Hemisphere. Our market, our stock market, is in a rally unprecedented, basically. Who'd imagine, well, almost 2 years into war, a year and 10 months, and we have a stock market that is just blooming. And all of that in preparation for a much bigger war that cannot happen until America is no longer standing there to support Israel. And so we're watching some big things. And a lot of people may not agree with me, but I think President Trump is operating under the mode of, I have only 2 years, not 4 years. I think President Trump is so eager to work so fast and so hard because he understands that the plots against him are super huge, not just from outside. Yeah. And let's make it very clear, people want to kill him from the outside. Iran is eager to kill him, but also from the inside. I believe this is the first time he was seen when he was in Scotland. The first time he was seen in a golf cart that was like Golf Cart Force One. It was like the most armored golf cart I've ever seen. But President Trump also know that I believe there's going to be a massive fraud in the coming midterm elections. And so even if he's still there, he won't be able to operate as much as he can now when he has both houses on his hand. So I'm thinking he's the last president that is really, truly 100% working for the Republic in America. And I think he doesn't trust too many people around him. And he's the only person I can see now in the American politics that I truly can trust, that he can see things in a clear way. And he's not really swayed by the woke mentality. And, you know, have you heard of the horseshoe theory? The horseshoe theory, where a horseshoe, the two fringes of both right and left are eventually much closer than you think in a horseshoe. So both on the left and on the right, the fringes, the very extreme ones, are actually much closer when it comes to Israel. They hate the Jews. They hate Israel. In a way, everything that they push is bringing down America, even though some of them say they love America. So it's a very interesting thing to watch. And again, Pastor Barry, if we talk about prophetic, and if we talk about Ezekiel war, which is coming soon, for that, America cannot be strong and stand by Israel, of course. So all these world events and all the stuff that is going on, even in the Middle East, eventually is going to affect America. And President Trump is well aware of that. I think that the heavy burden that he feels right now, and that's why he's really working hard to secure deals as fast as possible in as many places as he can, because he understands time is running out for him as well. And so we live in unbelievable times. And for us, the believers, of course, we do have that burden for the world, but we are eagerly waiting for the redemption of our body. And that's why that's right. I also want to remind people, my next book that is coming out in October, beginning of October, Exploring Ezekiel, it really explains everything that is going on right now in light of what's coming next. And I want to encourage all of you Christians that are all anyway wanting, if you want to buy, please scan this QR code and pre-order it now. And the only reason we ask you to do it now is because we want non-believers to walk into secular stores like Walmart, Target, and others and see that book on that shelf and then maybe grab it and see what it's all about. And the only way for Walmart and Target and others to get it is when they see that there is a high pre-order rate and they see that, well, someone really think it's a good book, I may need to order it for my own brick and mortar store shelf. So that's the only thing. We really need your help. So go ahead and do that. Pastor Barry, what else do we have? We have a few more things to talk about.
I think what you said is important. I think, we need to have a sense of urgency because what you said is very true. Traditionally, at the midterm elections, the Congress will flip away from the party of the president. And so Trump knows that the hour is late. Time is short for him to have both of the houses, the Senate and the Congress, on his side and have a majority in both. So we need to be doing what God has called us to do and being salt and light in this country. And our next story, I think, underscores that point, where there's an abortion clinic. The largest abortion clinic in Texas has been shut down. And it's a victory for, obviously, pro-life activists. And, Amir, this is something where I think every Christian needs to be involved. I don't think any of us can be silent about this catastrophic issue. When way back when Israel was steeped in idolatry and were offering their children to Molech and putting their kids on this superheated idol, on the arms of the idol that was heated up until it was red hot, the Lord said that kind of thing never even entered my mind. That was not something that I would want my people involved in. And the death of the unborn, I think, is probably the greatest tragedy in the history of the world because the numbers are simply astronomical. It's over since 1970 globally. The numbers are like 1.72 billion babies have been aborted in these past 70 or so years. And Amir, this is just catastrophic. And it falls right in line with the days of Noah, where the thoughts and intents of man's heart is only evil continually. So kudos to those who stood up and caused this shutdown of this major, major abortion clinic in Texas.
Yes. I also think that most of the secular world has no understanding of what abortion is all about. For them, they were trained to think that it's just getting rid of some tissues.
Tissue.
That's it. Yeah. And that's it. They don't understand. We're talking about a baby with arms and legs and eyes and brains and a heart that is beating. Yeah. And literally, we're either injecting poison to kill a baby, a living baby, or we're entering with some mechanical...
Chopping them up.
Yeah, chopping up human beings, pulling his arms and legs. And this is a murder. It's not like... You took a pill a day after and it's gone. We're talking about a massive industry, actually. By the way, it's industry of killing living babies in their mother wombs. And by the way, take a look at, why do you think they shut it down? They shut it down because they don't have money, because it was an industry and the money flow stopped. And once the money flow stops, now they shut it down. And it's phenomenal that, by the way, your tax money as a Christian who is opposing it went to fund those places that actually went against everything you believe in and everything God stands for. So kudos for this Trump administration for these decisions. And again, you know, people, you don't understand how good you have it right now in America for this coming a year and a half at least, until who knows what's going to happen. But I'm just saying we need to keep praying for the Congress and for the president. And, you know, no matter what we see around the world, we should never grow weary from doing good things, because in due time we will see the fruit thereof and get the reward. Exactly. And we were actually, we were made for good things. I mean, our, as believers, we are prepared for good deeds. And that's it. You cannot associate yourself with all that evil that is around the world, nor should you stay silent when you see that.
Yeah, and Amir, I think the catastrophic consequences of this, outside of the moral and spiritual aspect, there are other elements of this that will, in essence, destroy a nation. And we see that happening now in China, where China, because of their one child per family law, for so long have found themselves now in a negative population growth situation. And now the government is offering families $1,500 per child to have more children. And they're building more facilities, because some of the numbers that have been presented, I've seen various numbers, but they're talking about in the next 30 years or so, actually less than that, a loss of 100 million people in their population. And some are saying that the population of China by the year 2100 would drop from 1.3 billion to 633 million, all because they were taking the lives, especially of little girls. And now the female to male ratio that God ordained is out of balance, and there's not enough women to marry the men. And so they've pretty much strung themselves up, I believe, with this negative population growth. And it's all because they killed the children.
Exactly. And by the way, you see the same thing with Japan. Japan is in a catastrophic situation right now when it comes to the population. The elderly population is huge, and there is not enough young people to even work hard to pay the pension for the elderly ones. And we see it's all over. Western Europe is doomed. The only countries that are seeing growth in population. By the way, Israel is the only country in the Western developing world that has positive population growth. I don't know if you know that. Because in the mindset of the Western world, bring less children and give the fewer better life, they say. Better education, they say. And so, so that's the mindset of the West. Whereas Judaism is pushing people to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and especially when it comes to fill the earth with the knowledge of the Lord. How do you fill the earth with the knowledge of the Lord? You need to fill the earth with people that are, grow up in that surrounding that has the knowledge of the Lord. So the thing is, we are going to see a greater reliance on AI and robots in the near future. And by the way, it's going to come from necessity, because there's been less and less people to hold jobs, that because, you know, people are growing old and there are not enough people that are there. And again, we don't have too many people in this world. We have too few in this world. We need more. God intended it to be more. It was more before the flood. It should be more now. And unfortunately, the mindset of Satan is population reduction, whereas the mindset of God is be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And I think talking about AI and robots, you have also an interesting story to tell us about the young people.
Yeah, it is interesting to see that there are 70% of Gen Z who have stated that they are willing to have a relationship, a marital relationship, with an AI-generated individual. And, you know, this is all preparation for bowing down to that image of the beast that's going to happen during the tribulation period. And Amir, it's just so strange to see, you know, the breakdown of individual relationships. People can't disagree agreeably anymore. If you think different, well, then I have to hate you. You're a bigot. You're a hater. You're all these other things. You're not just someone of a different opinion or value system. You're the enemy. And so the safe place for them is artificially generated individual who's never going to argue with them. And they'll always get along. And there won't be that relationship that causes the population growth, if you know what I mean, with this artificially created individual that they have this love relationship with. And Amir, man, I think we are so close to the Lord getting us out of here, because everything is in place. Our last story is talking about in Norway, where they're having, you know, normally you'll see on the shelf a price underneath the product. Well, now these are electronic devices that can change as many as 100 times a day. And, you know, I think the point of this story is not only that they can control prices, they could change the price in the future very potentially. If you are somebody who your signature or your social credit score says that you're overweight or you're on high blood pressure medicine, they could change the price to price you out of buying something that's bad for you, or they could simply shut you down from being able to buy that particular product. In other words, we are moving towards control of all buying and selling on the planet. The hour is late. I think the Lord is coming for us soon.
Absolutely mind-boggling, amazing.
It is.
But it's no longer the pages of Bible prophecy. Now it's our reality, prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. And if we see the lights of Christmas in the middle of November, we know that Thanksgiving is around the corner. So if we see already the preparation for the world under the Antichrist, how much more the rapture of the church is around the corner. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Pastor Barry, it's time for us to remind people again to follow us on YouTube, on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Follow, like, share, and comment. And let's finish this update with the Aaronic blessing. I'll do it in Hebrew, you'll do it in English, and we'll say goodbye. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you his peace. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Please share this video with as many as you can. Comment, follow, and also subscribe to our channels. We love you. Thank you, Pastor Barry, and the people of Calgary, Canada. Today, we're going to visit you. An evening of Bible prophecy. Go to our website, beholdisrael.org, to find more information about it. Thank you. God bless you. And shalom from Calgary, Canada. Shalom to everyone all around the world. Bye-bye.
Shalom.